Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, this is your host, Lauren, and you are listening to episode 105, Dragon Master Creatrix with Dr. Allison Kay. And before we jump to today's magical episode, I wanted to remind you guys that Witchy Wellness Radio is sponsored by Living a Good Life Magnesium. If you guys want to learn more about magnesium and its benefits, listen to episode 73, that's 73, with Kristen Bowen. Head over to the show notes for the link and make sure to use code WICHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, for 10% off of your purchase. And secondly, I'm running another free masterclass August 19th. If you guys are interested in learning how to flow from your own fear into freedom, make sure to sign up in the show notes for this action-packed and actually useful information masterclass on August 19th at 7:30 EST. And if you can't make it, no worries, a recording will be sent to you right after. Without further ado, please enjoy episode 105, Dragon Master Creatrix with Dr. Allison Kay. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, this is your host, Lauren. And this is a show you get to learn how your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And our beautiful, magical guest today, Dr. Allison J.K., has secrets like no one else uses to upgrade, inspire, and disrupt old paradigms within her community and the collective. She is an award-winning, number one, international best-selling author and the founder of the Vibrational Upgrade System. She's an experience with subtle energies practitioner, a natural healer with a holistic approach towards helping others thrive in mind, body, and spirit. This is reinforced by her 10 years in Asia studying subtle energies and ancient wisdom. With over 20 years working and teaching in yoga, meditation, energy medicine, mind-body fitness, longevity, and holistic health with a specialized focus in the chakra system, Dr. Allison brings a unique perspective that facilitates massive change. Welcome to the show, Dr. Allison.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Hi, everybody!
Hello, hello. I know we were talking off air. I'm like, where do we start? Where do we begin? Because I could just jump in anywhere, but I would love to hear how you got to do the work that you do today. I love hearing everybody's transformational journeys and also just really their own awakening stories. We all relate and we all learn from the wisdom that we glean from these beautiful hero's journeys.
I love that you call it a hero's journey. Kudos to Joseph Campbell.
Yeah.
So I do it a little bit differently. I go at it a little differently, and my guidance has gotten increasingly stronger, especially watching different interviewers and people's responses and reactions. When I say I had no crisis that forced me to discover something outside of what everybody else was doing. I grew up walking outside in the woods with my older brother after school and on the weekends, and he would break the broken limbs already, but he'd jump on them in front of me and I'd be, you know, behind him connecting in kind of with the, you know, the elementals and the ground and the clovers and the dragonflies and the creek and just feeling a part of everything and in a sense of support all around me, just in that I didn't end where my physical body did. And so then in my teens, it became more of me doing journal entries and connecting with my higher self's voice and learning to allow that to come through more and connecting with the divine through my higher self's voice. So like in my early 20s, a couple of times I got some pieces of guidance and for my hero's journey and didn't follow them and realized the chaos that ensued instead of the chaos that got avoided. So I've always basically listened to my guidance. And so I went into college as a psych major. My mom, when I was like 12, she said, you know, Allison, you seem to have a really good understanding of people and it's really natural. And so why don't you consider being a psych major? And I thought about it. My mom has such a great intuitive sense. And it felt right with me. So I went in, but three semesters in, I was horrified because I was like, you're not teaching me anything about how do we be the happiest, most thriving versions of ourselves. You're showing me like how to apply this to industrial management for capitalistic gains and capitalistic purposes. And you're proving yourself to be a hard science, which I understand, but you're talking more about the hard wiring. And it's just, no. So I had two more majors where I learned about the conditioning from society's marketing and advertising we grew up with. And then I learned about social thought, political economy. So I learned about the overall collective conditioning. And I ended up with English Lit as a looking into society and humans from a, in the psychology of society and humans from a, an art artist, from an art medium of literature. Wow, there's so much buzzing energy. We're fielding a storm right here, right now. We're getting a hurricane. So I think that there's a lot of energy coming in. So I'll slow down now. So yeah, graduated, moved out west, ended up synchronistically in a political advisor's job. And I was really successful at it really quickly because it was about protecting the environment and getting people elected to California State Assembly or Congress, and then also federal state Congress, and even the presidential race. And I hit my stride so quickly. And as I said, that they put me in more and more intense races because I was doing a good job. And so I, in order to handle the stress, I was walking through a bookstore one day in San Francisco, and a book on meditation just leapt off the shelf, stopped me in my tracks, literally. I mean, I could have stepped on the book, but that's like sacrilegious to me. So I picked it up and I bought it, and I had already been reading the I Ching. I'd already been totally visiting the Chinatown in San Francisco, which is the best one in our country. I think even better than New York's. And I had already been like interpreting my own I Ching. And so I picked up meditation and started to get into Asia more. And so in the Asian ancient wisdom more. And so I then completed the political season and went backpacking overseas. It wasn't my first time overseas because I'm a very adventurous being, and came back and started to get got my master's in public administration and public policy with a focus on environmental policy, again, to work with helping the environment from within the system. And so my question was, is it a nonprofit or is it like a local or federal EPA department within the system or outside the system? Where will I get the most change? But you know that feeling when you're going for something and you hit walls and doors close and it's just not moving? That was happening, right? So she's nodding, by the way, you guys can't see her. and so I read the signs for what it was. And as I was graduating with my master's, I had picked up my first energy medicine modality. So I was aware when I asked that question, after seeing things show up the way they were, that what I got intuitively was that the fossil fuel industry in the marketplace was not ready to shift. It didn't matter. So going for change in consciousness first. And so I dropped down again with my mom's suggestion and leaned on my bachelor's in English Lit and went into the classroom as a public school teacher, and then ran energy medicine sessions and holistic health and wellness sessions on the side. I had already been teaching meditation even during my master's to adults. And now I was doing it for kids in the school system, particularly boys labeled with ADD and ADHD. I had already also been working a bit with Qigong, was teaching them how to interact with their fields, with the field of trees and stuff. And it was just so fun to watch the kids go beyond their minds and, you know, remind themselves of the magic. And so after 2.5 years of doing that, I was getting great results with my clients. I was really happy with my clients' results. They were happy with their results. And nonetheless, I was having my hands over a woman's sacral and solar plexus chakra one day in a session. It was like her fourth in a series of 10. And I asked, looking up, how do I get even more robust results for my clients? And around that same time, I was aware I wasn't making enough money. I had a master's, very little student loan and basic housing needs only, basic car. I did want organic food and a massage per week. I consider that preventative health 101. And it wasn't okay with me. And I even more so felt like I was going to be in a cage for the next like couple of decades. And I had already been around the world a couple of different times and well, not around the world yet at that point, but I had been on different continents and living overseas for extended amounts of time. And the sense of adventure, never mind abundance, wasn't there. And I wasn't okay with that. So those two things came together, and I ended up within a month's time, synchronistically being shown the international school system and did what I had to do to go interview with the department, or the school heads came in from all over the world, and interviewed with a bunch of them, got a bunch of job offers, chose Asia. So I went to Taiwan because I consider that to be the seat of where they understand, they have ancient wisdom about how subtle energy and consciousness works, but they still operate from it today, whereas it has gone underground in the West. So I was there for a decade studying consciousness and subtle energy, got Qigong teacher training, got my yoga teacher, meditation teacher, formal training in India, and just learned a boatload. And then came back to the West with the understanding as my mission of man. So I went for my as I was writing my dissertation for my PhD, still over in Taiwan, the last year, it turned into my first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? And I came back with the understanding that, man, if we in the West had any inkling of a clue how much less suffering and how much more thriving, there's a theme there, thriving. That's why I left the psych major. They weren't showing me how to thrive, is available to us if we only went inside and worked with our consciousness and understood our subtle energy system. So, and then my second mission has also become to professionalize the field of energy medicine here in the West. So here we are.
Here we are. Oh my goodness. I think you had your own, just because there was no earth shattering awakening, you know, my story is similar. I think it's nice to, well, you know, in the sense that like, I didn't have some out of body experience that woke me up, you know, near death experience or anything, but I love to hear people's own journey and perspective of how things synchronistically come together and guide you. And some doors feel like they're being shut, but it's all preparing you to the next step. And, it doesn't have to be some huge event that shifts and that's awesome. I love hearing those stories, but definitely more relatable stories are just as powerful. I wanted to just talk more about that subtle energy and the energy medicine. I know that you have developed and kind of honed your own craft of that, the vibrational upgrade energy medicine. How can this help people with their own spiritual awakening?
Well, vibrational upgrade system. It's a combination of applied mindfulness from my meditation and yoga background, and then energy medicine clearings and activations from my energy medicine background, and still the yoga background, because like, I don't need to go into that necessarily. But you're asking, what is it?
Yeah. What is it, and how can it help someone with their own spiritual awakening or journey?
Well, how it can help part is, I have had people come to me in the last bunch of years with varying symptoms of awakening, and whether that's somebody who's already on their own path actively and really in tune with themselves and aware that, hey, Dr. Allison, I have a gray cloud around my head. I feel like there's a sense of lethargicness I don't normally have. Can you please help? And so that leads to clearing out old stuff, old blockages, and then they become, as a result, more aligned and more awakened and more alive because they have more vital life force energy or chi or prana flowing through their system and consciousness. Or it's somebody who is starting to like go to yoga classes or be interested in meditation or be interested in the chakras, hear ringing in their ears, maybe think they have a twin flame gig going on, or are interested like in the sacred sites. And so, you know, I kind of look at them as like their eyes have popped above the wall and they're searching and looking around. And so people have come to me with those, and they just, or also frequently in that range are people who are wanting to listen to their intuition more, and to be able to discern, is this my intuition or is this just my wishful thinking? And then even at a more advanced level now is helping people have the courage during the necessary clearings and activations that come to me intuitively based on that individual, what needs to be cleared to help them have more courage to actually not only hear and discern their guidance, but to follow it. Just earlier today, I was talking with a client, and the concept of people pleasing came up around like having more courage to actually follow through when her guidance comes in and guides her to do take a certain step, and not being attached to the outcome of other, in meaning other people's reactions to her choice. And instead of holding herself back and not making a choice, taking a specific action, meaning because she's concerned that it might upset someone. I gave the example of, you know, my mom was not at all happy when I uprooted and moved over to across the planet. My best friend, nor was she happy about it. And our friendship never was the same, because I, even though we kept in touch regularly on Skype while I lived over there, it still, she had moved on locally and just had, it was different. Right. So, I had absolutely every piece of guidance within me, all of my cells saying, yes, do this. And I could not deny it. And it wasn't like these people wanted me to deny myself, but I mean, you have to be able to take the steps that your guidance is showing. Otherwise you live in that fatiguing, energetic of regret and doubt or wonder. So it's a full range of people. I can serve everybody where they're at, honestly. So it helps everybody where they're at. It even helps like advanced people. Like what's being said about my, certification training is that it's the world's premier certification training. And why? Because like I'm a personal trainer. I have fitness and nutrition and longevity nutrition certification. I have certification as a behavioral change specialist. All of this is along with my personal trainer certification. And then, you know, I mean, I talk about the body, the mind, the spirit. I can address nutrition. I can address weight loss through the chakras and the mind-body connection before even talking about like diet and exercise. Talking about like the crystal body, the light body, it just, the whole spectrum. Right. So I don't like to do a reading. Like when I get past life information in the midst of a clearing on someone, I don't like to just give them information. And it almost feels like indulging the ego, like a person on a diet eating a banana split or an ice cream sundae. Instead, it's just bringing forward what will help them now move on beyond the blockage that we're working with that is making them not as vibrant in their consciousness and in their courage and in their body as well. And when I say vibrant, I don't just mean energy levels of the physical body. So it's really meeting people where they're at and seeing how to help elevate them further. I definitely have a very well-steeped understanding of how energy works. It really, it's phenomenal still to me.
I would love to hear more about that. And I know you chakras are kind of a buzzword nowadays, especially online, which is awesome. I think that it's cool that it's becoming a little bit more mainstream. But at the same time, just because it's out there, a lot of people might not know. If you are a Witchy Wellness Radio listener, you probably know a little bit more about chakras. But could we go into maybe more of your understanding of the energy systems and maybe a more intro chakra. Yeah.
I know that I love how you're kind of stepping into asking this question with showing me the awareness you have of how big the topic is. I used to have workshops, for example, that lasted a month for weekly classes, 3 hours long of the beginner level on the chakras. And then the next month, intermediate level on the chakras with the same kind of time frame. So it's a huge science, right? So if you think of chakra, the word itself from Sanskrit to English means wheel, W-H-E-E-L, like a turning wheel. And so we have seven of them. And let me back up for a second. What you just said, Lauren, was really key because I like hearing you say that chakras are a buzzword online now. I remember when they weren't. So this is great. And for better or for worse, kind of like you said, now there's a lot of misunderstanding where people seem to think they can just go listen to a chakra balancing singing bowl or crystal bowl online on YouTube, and then they're set. And it's not that at all. So I find the chakra system as a roadmap to enlightenment, and it's every chakra covers a domain of life, and every chakra has what we consider a right to it. So we have seven main ones. One's at the crown, at the top of the head, one's between the eyebrows, throat, heart, solar plexus or upper belly, lower belly, sacral, and root. That means tailbone. And so the tailbone, the root chakra, for example, is the right to be here. So that starts forming. It's our spine is the first thing that forms as a baby in the womb or as a fetus in the womb or an embryo, really. And the spine houses the base. If the root chakra is at the base of the spine, it's tailbone. It's very basic. And so a basic concept of being here is, do I have the right to be here? So if somebody's in a womb of a mom in a partnership, i.e. marriage, with either her or her partner is not wanting to have this baby or is wondering, how am I going to provide for this baby? Or then there's maybe later abandonment, or there's a neglect. When I say later, I mean within like the first year, or a lack of nurturing. What that says unconsciously to this being is, I don't have the right to be here. That's how it shows up in the unconscious conclusion. So from 0 to 8, we're not, how do I say this? From 0 to 2, we're not even separate from our parents. We think and feel what they think and feel. And at age 2, why we start saying no, the terrible twos, is because we're starting to separate and form our own separate ego identity. And so from 2 to 8, we're asking questions as we look around, like, how does older brother get that great, yummy smile from dad, that good, goopy feeling from mom? Oh, he's being a good boy. He's sitting there and listening attentively. So that must be how I get the good, yummy feeling from mom and dad. So let me do that too. And so there's an unconscious conclusion. I get that approval when I sit there and listen. So the person might end up with a fifth chakra blockage where they feel restricted in their ability to speak up for themselves. It seems really simplified, and it's childlike logic, because we are children when we have this logic. So then there's all these imprints, the way our parents are, they imprint us with their beliefs. So mom could have grown up with, it's important to be attractive. That's the way I get good feelings. So she was dressed as a doll growing up, maybe by her mom and dad, or her mom wanted her to be in beauty shows. And so girls were used for their beauty and meant to be seen, but not heard. So she then would have imprinted me with that. So then I would have had a doubly thing about my throat chakra being seen and not heard and having difficulty speaking up for myself. I'm supposed to listen. That's what, and be pretty and look good. That's what a good girl does. So these can build on top of each other. And so there's a way to go about dismantling. Like I tell everybody who works with me, you have to have a stable ego. You have, because I'm dismantling it. And so like those examples I just gave are really common for women and even still. And so also common for women is overgiving, like being from the collective conditioning and the collective unconscious, women are nurturers. I'm thrilled to, you know, nowadays be where the men have stepped into that role so much more actively and obviously. And it just, my heart just warms literally as I stand here right now talking with you around that, like the first Huggies diapers or nappies, as I say, over in the UK, packaging with a male, a daddy on them, just came out this year. It was Huggies that did it. God bless you guys. So I don't mean to say, obviously, by what I'm saying, not the other thing, you know, but women are considered the nurturers. It's still in the collective unconscious. And so there is a tendency to overgive as a woman. And that means in America in particular, if we're able to go out there also and make things happen, then we can be very young. We can be very go at it, doing and making happen, and have our targets or our goals and our lists and follow that. And it's all young energy. Whereas we're not tuned into the feminine within us, which is really good at seeding an idea before we ever talk about it to anybody else. So we don't have to field other people's own judgments and projections, and just allowing it to be fed by our intuition and filled in, and then allowing ourselves to receive support rather than do it all ourselves. And even the idea of in front of the heart chakra, if we're busy stepping out doing, we leave no room to receive. There's no room to, the heart chakra is magnetic. and it magnetizes to us, as well as has a receiving capacity. So when our heart's singing out our desires, if we don't have any of the yin in balance, we're not receptive enough to allow ourselves to receive the opportunity. So we're still busy going at it, making things happen, instead of having that person come in who would have been the perfect support, knowing those people over there or that system to work with that would have saved us a month's time of active going out there and making it happen. So I'm not talking all fluff. I'm talking about practical application in our day-to-day life. And so understanding the chakras are like an urban center in their wheel of the mind, the body, and the spirit, an intersection of those three. I can access, yes, like your thyroid's at the throat chakra. Every chakra connects to one of the major endocrine glands. The biggest nerve plexus, a gathering of neuroreceptors receiving messaging from the brain, are where each chakra is along the spine. So our two main communication systems, the chemical, which is hormonal or endocrine, and electrical, which is central nervous system, the two main communication systems are related to the chakra column. So there's the body part, then there's the mind and the spirit part too. So the mind part, all three levels of consciousness, your conscious mind, we're only at most 10% of our daily choices are made from. 90% of our choices on the daily level aren't even conscious choices. That's back from what's in the subconscious, under, sub, and unconscious. Un means not conscious. So when we say mind, body, and spirit is the intersection at a chakra, then I can work with all levels of consciousness, including this, what in Western we're now calling supra consciousness, which is actually the higher self in the yogic culture and understanding and wisdom. And then spirit is how I access past lives and karmic stuff. So it's a way to get at everything. And when we hear about balancing a chakra, that's like nice. And it might make you feel good, like you do in a yoga class, because in yoga, there's eight limbs and only one of them is about the body postures. Five are about working with your mind and consciousness. So you might come out feeling more balanced. That's why you feel more peaceful, because your chakras have become a bit more nurtured. Every yoga pose is centered around opening certain chakras. That's why you feel so good coming out of yoga class. But it's the work with consciousness that we're actually doing. And the consciousness is relevant depending on the topic of the block we're clearing to a certain chakra. So that's how we're getting to the consciousness distributed throughout the body. It's not just at the head. So how's that?
Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. I think I love the examples you gave, and it kind of perfectly leads into what I wanted to talk about next anyway, of course. You know, the show is called Witchy Wellness Radio, and this was really the fruition of my own healing journey and me realizing me being too in that wounded feminine and learning how to balance both masculine and I'm peeling back the layers every single day in that respect. But it's really like finding my own voice, and people are always like, oh my gosh, Lauren, I love listening to your voice. It's so soothing. I'm like, go back and listen to the first episode, please. It took me like 3 hours to record a 15-minute, you know, episode where it was just me talking. And yeah, it's just the, you know, going out there and doing it. Yes, I had the spiritual awareness. Yes, I was doing energy healing and all this other stuff, but I had to put myself out there and take that action. But I think, yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. 3.5 years later, we're here, man. Woo. Yeah. And it's changed, and I've changed with it. And it just, people like Dr. Allison, come on. It's just like what I need to hear usually is what the guest has to say. And it's like, oh, I needed that reminder today. And hopefully it's the same for everybody listening as well. But I love what you gave the example of, you know, women nowadays, whether we're, I don't want to say wounded feminine, but, you know, an example would be block throat chakra or overly stepping into that masculine, wounded masculine energy and feeling like, you know, we have to be a part of the guys club, if you will. And that very like solar, like do more means you're better. And I think, you know, taking action is necessary, but it's about finding what's a healthy flow for you in the moment in time, because that changes. And long story short, you wrote a book all kind of about these kind of topics called, it's your latest book, if I'm not mistaken, The Dragon Master Creatrix, Conversations with a Female Spiritual Teacher for These New Times. So I would love to kind of hear your synopsis of this, because it's much more than what we just talked about. That kind of was a great segue for me to bring this in. And it just seems like this fruition of your own wisdom and your own journey of what you bring forth to this lifetime, to the world.
Thanks, Lauren.
Yeah.
You said when you read my description, you used the word disruptor of old paradigms. And I know that when I first came back from Asia, I was saying all the time, what if it were possible to, and then fill in the blank. And I remember a couple of times, it was always guys complaining, like, I would stop asking these what if questions. Why am I saying that? Backpacking, I didn't backpack. I had a profession. I was a department chair and a successful teacher in the international school system over in Asia. But being around other travelers, like Chinese New Year, I would stay there. I wouldn't come back to the States in between the two semesters so I could explore Southeast Asia more. And I always ended up actually going back to Thailand, because it's just so great to, I would go to an island that's on a vortex, and it's just, and I could go to the Buddhist monasteries and get Thai massages for $5 a day, daily Thai massages day after day. And I would go to more holistic health and wellness centers and learn about the different treatments and get them. And when I was both traveling as well as in Taiwan, the understanding through conversations and observations was, we're in America anyway, a very yang country. And for example, Taiwan was a very yin and is a very yin country. And what does that mean? Well, I remember a Chinese male in the gym that I went to after work being interested in me, asking a fellow Chinese male who was bilingual to introduce him to me. And he was very dreamy, and he liked to kind of telepathically message me, and like, and not, but when I would look over at him in the gym, he would look down with his eyes. So like game playing, but a bit of that flirty kind of girly kind of behavior in a way, right? But the dreamy aspect, like the non-implementation, the non-follow-through, the non-action taking, that's yin, non-divine yin. So I really feel like, and it was a trip, Lauren and listeners, I mean, it was a bloody trip being a female weight trainer in a gym with mostly Chinese guys. Other expats would go there, my expat buddies would go there with me, but like I wasn't paying attention to anything other than my workout. I had my headphones on. It was after work. You know, I wanted to get my workout done and really focus on my body, because I've been teaching. So it had been in my head. And I'd be sitting there like just doing bicep curls or whatever. And the Chinese guys would look at the amount I was lifting. And I would just be like, okay, I have to do this weight today on this exercise. And wouldn't, you know, notice that there were guys like going, oh my God, she's lifting as much as I do or more than I do. You know, I wasn't even aware of that until I had left. Somebody told me that later. But I really messed with their heads about like the feminine and what the female is supposed to represent, or the feminine is supposed to represent. And I had my head messed with as far as like what's masculine and what's feminine. And then learning more about the yin yang and, you know, when doing Qigong. I love Qigong because it's really a good teacher philosophically. Whereas like yoga is modeled on animal poses, what animals are seen doing in nature. So when I do yoga, it's a very different there's so much yogic wisdom, it's ridiculous. But when doing Qigong, I can perceive the philosophies of the, and part of that is the yin and the yang of the energy flows. And so I come to so much of what I do from an experiential, embodied learning, non-conceptual or applied conceptual, in the process of learning different concepts, actually applying them within a context of where I learned them, and then being able to ask questions. And so the wisdom that's in this book, it's not like how to be a better energy healer only. And I don't even use energy healer because I don't pose that there's anything to heal. It's not because I'm playing with semantics. It's because I genuinely don't feel people coming to me anymore who I'm supposed to save and heal something in them. Where I'm like in an, I'm an expert with this knowledge that other people haven't had the life experience to build, but it's still like a role of co-equal, co-creators, you know? And so what I go into in this book is, I remember one question that, so the first half of each chapter is the voice of a student, and an actual student of mine who has been on retreats with me wrote the introduction, and the beginning of each chapter is based on the experiences my students were having. And then the second half of each chapter is me answering questions they've actually asked me. Literally, I spent hours going through the question. I mean, days, I don't mean hours, going through the questions that they've asked me historically, audios and recordings, as well as written on in our private Facebook group. And so there's questions like, Dr. Allison, how do I stop caring what other people think of me? You know, it's completely around how to step into your own sovereignty and your own empowerment as a woman in today's time. So they meet me at a place of power. I take them to sacred sites. And so some of it's about that. Some of it's about getting the actual high level attunements that are based on a Tibetan energy medicine and what that's like, and being with their others. And then she has a question all the way through in the beginning. It's like, do I stay with my husband or not? She travels to the retreat. And at the end, there is resolution. So there's that kind of neat hook too. It's a fun book. It's the closest to fiction. And that was what my bachelor's was in. And when I moved to San Francisco, it was to attend for my master's in creative writing. And I had to submit stories instead of taking the GREs. And so this last of my four books, this most recent one, The Dragon Master Creatrix, was the closest to writing fiction. The first three are all nonfiction. As I look over at my bookcase, that's why you're seeing me turn my head on this video that you guys aren't seeing. So yeah, it's really, really fun. I've had great feedback about it. People have really been enjoying the voice it's written in. And then my Reasonable Dragons book, How to Activate the Field of Unlimited Possibilities so that logical magic is the new normal. That's on Audible, and people have been loving that because I recorded that right outside of Glastonbury after finishing these retreats. And so I have like even a mastermind who accesses me like almost as much as she'd want to, if not as much as she'd want to, frankly. She had all these audios to listen to that were clearings and activations, and she still kept going back to that book, and she's not alone. I mean, there's something in that book, I guess. That's the only one that's on Audible, but I bring that up because also the last two books have the dragons involved, and in my vibrational upgrade system practitioner certification, the second two levels are all about working with the dragons and activating them to work with and as a companion, achieve more for the earth and for the collective. After the first level is about learning how the energy flows within a human and how to heal yourself. And then the second level is about learning how to energy flows in others based on yourself and how to bring light into them in a one-on-one session, distant or local, as well as workshops with a verbal clearing. And then another level's master. And then you get up to working with the dragons. When the chakras are open and turning and unblocked and cleared, they are actually vortices in front of each of them in the front and the back. And that creates our aura, that creates our field. And so what we can then learn is how to have our own field hook up with the field of unlimited possibilities that's all around us. That's in some ways the Tao, or in some ways the field that is throughout the trees and in the sky, and it's kind of like the how of LOA, but it's the actualization of it.
Oh yeah. And are you talking about like the double toric field, kind of like, I see this visualization of like a human where there's a torque field coming in, but also out of the body too. Yeah.
I'm talking about even beyond that.
Beyond that. Okay.
Yeah. When the whole thing in its entirety, how it connects to, like I'm pointing more to the sides. Because from my yogic background and everything I've experienced working on people, it seems like this is more personal at the crown, that yeah. Flow coming in at the crown, and that's one's higher self right at the crown. And then it's our connection to the divine and the higher chakras that I haven't even talked about above the crown. But as far as connecting in with the field, that's actually what's happening when you're working the law of attraction. It's more to the side. It's not that kind of receiving. It happens more at an embodied level, which is why it's so important in particular to get that heart chakra really on board.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Like you said, it's the how of law of attraction around the way. And that's that embodiment, that yeah. manifestation bringing you forward. I'm like pulling my hands out and like pulling things towards my chest right now as I'm talking. Talk a lot with my hands, you know. Yeah. But I wanted to take a second to mention that Dr. Allison is giving us his awesome bonus for those of you guys that are interested in her latest book, The Dragon Master Creatrix. She's giving us an awesome bonus for, well, I'll let you kind of alluded to parts of them, of the three different healings and a 1 month free of her membership as well.
Yeah, I don't normally do this, so please feel special. You are. And yeah. Lauren's letting this go live the day before a full moon, the full moon in July. And so I really don't normally do this. It's been one of the podcasts out of hundreds that I felt the match. But as soon as I saw Lauren's pitch come in, the Witchy Wellness, I'm like, yes. And so we were both really happy. We were just talking before we started recording this, excited for the alignment. So I want to extend that excitement to you all, because you're her listening audience. In this, I want to extend this alignment, acknowledging it by this special offer that I don't typically do. So if you go to I don't even think you need the word the. If you go to dragonmastercreatrix.com, and Lauren has the link, so they'll be with the show notes.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Dragonmastercreatrix.com is the bonus page. So you can buy the book on Amazon from that page, and then go back to that page with the receipt number and input it. And then my support desk, my beloved VA, Larissa, she'll reach out to you, and you'll get three videos of part of what you've heard me talking about, a sacred site. So you're going to get three videos. One of them is my favorite, if not my favorite stone circle, right there tied with another one. And it's in Ireland, and it's a stone circle historically used for abundance and fertility ceremonies and celebrations. And I do activations for that and for the solar plexus, for your power center to manifest within the energetics of the stone circle, as well as a really great grounder for the third eye, which sounds atypical, but not when you're really working with these higher vibrations in today's vibrational backdrop. In a body as a human on planet Earth. So then the other two videos you're getting, one I'm on the top of the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan, the Mayan ruins outside of Mexico City. And then I'm sending energy through my hands, energy medicine healing from the top of the Pyramid of the Sun, which is very young. And then I'm also on top of the Pyramid of the Moon in the third video, sending you energy medicine through my hands, which is very yin. And that's on the equinox, actually. So those three videos are only part of the bonus. Then you get a month of my Activate Your Magic program, which has two live gigs a month and then two recorded gigs a month. And those recorded gigs are associated with the full and the new moon. And it's usually 30 minutes of sacred activations where I'm running a clearing and activation after doing research on what the alignments are astrologically for that moon or that new or full moon, and to help you be even more in alignment with taking advantage of what's going on in the cosmos. Because the cosmos are really, along with the divine, are really directing this 20-year window of 2012 to 2032, what's considered humanity's greatest evolutionary leap. So really getting you guys aligned and staying aligned. That's why the membership's ongoing, are with that new moon and full moon sacred activations. And then you get a live Zoom event with me with this minimal coaching, but you can interact with me. That's where you can interact with me. One Zoom event video a month. And then another one is an hour long of group clearings and activations where I am just dumping so much godforsaken healing. That was the word, was healing on people. Everybody's on mute and I'm reading intuitively. I go up into this place that I know to go to, and I'm reading intuitively what everybody needs on the call. And I'm just like pounding out clearing after clearing after clearing. That alone is worth the price of the monthly membership. And I know you guys, we all hear people say stuff like that, but seriously, I used to do that weekly and I had to wipe it out because I was wiped out from it. It was so much healing. Then I went down to twice a month, and now it's what it is because it's just so much bloody healing. So you get that month of Activate Your Magic and the three videos. When you just you buy Dragon Master Creatrix on Amazon and go to dragonmastercreatrix.com and give us input the, when I say give us, just online input the order number from Amazon, and then you'll get the appropriate videos and entry into the Activate Your Magic program. So if you do that the day you're listening, and even if you hear this like the day after the full moon on Sunday, the 25th, that's fine. You would still get access to the full moon sacred activations that just got set out because it's on a membership. So there you go.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. Talk about witchy wellness right there. Those are some amazing, amazing bonuses. Yeah, I think, you know what? We could just talk for hours and hours. I think I'm going to like put a little pin in it there. Was there anything else, Dr. Allison, you wanted to cover or wrap up before we start to close the show down today?
Yeah, there's this here. Hold on one sec. That was... I know we get really serious about this stuff.
But really, air horn.
The whole point is to have fun, is to get freer and get lighter and be able to just be more playful, like your childlike self, and be full of joy. And so I know we get really serious about all this because there is work. And when you're purging lifetimes and lifetimes of punishment or whatever, it's not pretty. No. So I want to recommend you guys, like I gauge what I learned specifically in Asia, the more, whether it's me or another mentor or teacher, even check to see their level of humor.
Or partner, or even.
Yes. Yeah. That's a mandate for me. Mine.
Oh, I love it.
There you go. That's it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I have to say my partner, definitely, we always joke. My mom says it's about my dad that she married him for his entertainment value. And I have to say, I've definitely repeated that pattern here in my lifetime, but you know, humor never fades. Humor is there and it only just grows with age, I think.
Keeps so me my requirement is I have to be able to lose control giggling. You have to be able to make me laugh uncontrollably. And I just did it earlier today, actually, with a colleague of mine. He did it. Anyway, yeah, laughter is a really important thing.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. And
divine needs to, like, the more in touch they are with the divine, the more they're going to be goofy and humorous and use humor, because the divine, I mean, hides everything behind this veil that we spend our lifetimes, like, learning how to get around. If that's not the divine sense of humor, then you know. What is?
What is? I mean, you're a fellow yogini. Have you ever done like laughter yoga before?
I have. It is
it's weird, but I loved it. Oh my, you basically sit around in a circle and start laughing. And sometimes it's forced. Sometimes like it's just this wave of energy that would come across like around the circle. My whole body hurt. I like my, you know, my abs, my whole body, jaw, everything.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to close the show out. Every week we always ask the same question. So whatever comes to mind is the perfect answer, Dr. Allison. Okay. Thank you for showing up for us today, for your guidance, your wisdom, your presence, but also showing up for you and yourself this lifetime. How may we, the listeners, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
Oh my God. This is the first time I've ever been asked that.
Yeah.
How great is that? So one of the things that I know about myself, in all frankness, I'm consistently made aware of this by contrast. If I know it's in alignment, I say yes, and I take action and I do it. And I know the money follows. I mean, it always does. And I see people making choices that when they feel the yeah in the moment, they don't follow through and take the action based on the yeah in the moment, based on the feeling of expansion, of upliftment that they can get. And as a person, honestly, selling programs, I see the capacity of me meeting with somebody and what I can, knowing intuitively, being shown in the moment, like some of what we can get to and how much freer I can get them. And it hurts me my heart when I see somebody say no to their own transformation for no other reason other than fear or lack of follow through or even paranoia, but I'm being marketed to. Did she have a marketing tone? Is she selling through? Yes, I'm selling something. Of course I am. You know, but it's like to get over that paranoia and the lack of follow through and just show up on behalf of yourself. Follow through on behalf of yourself. When you know it's a yes, let yourself take the action and trust. I don't mean like go $500,000 into debt, obviously, but I mean like, you know, if you get a yes, follow through on it, take the action, let that divine feminine and divine masculine be balanced by get the inspired sense. That's the feminine, the guidance. Yes. Uplifted heart, more joy. That's the yes. You don't have to have intuitive imagery where it shows you at the outcome of investment in a program for yourself where you see yourself in an intuitive image of celebrating in a hot tub, drinking champagne out of a glass and, you know, having millions of dollars. I don't mean that. I just mean like the heart knows when it goes lighter, that's your yes. Intuitive information is just that simple. It's not anything, you know, that glamorous. And then the masculine, the divine masculine is taking inspired action. Like, don't just take wild action like you're shooting darts at a dartboard with no target. That's non-divine masculine. So I just really, that's how you can serve me, whether it's following through and coming in to activate your magic and receiving that for a month, or it's anybody else you've listened to and they got your attention and you thought, let me follow through with that. Don't drop it, the ball. Follow through. Let your heart expand more. Let your life go into the expansion that it's meant to right now, rather than just like researching, I'll listen to this one more time, and delaying your change and freedom.
1,000%. I have to add, this is like it's growth in a different way, not so much in a, spiritual or career way. I mentioned my partner, and we met through yoga, and I had the intuitive hit to ask him to brunch. And it was just like this download, and the words came out of my mouth. And as they came out of my mouth, I was like, what the bleep are you doing? Uh-huh. And I had no visualization that he was going to be like my life partner. We were, you know, going to have a fur baby dog together, you know, nothing like that. And it was just like, okay, wow, this is happening, and everything else unfolded. So I love what you said, take the action. You can have a big vision and where you want to go and how you want to feel, but stay present and stay with that feeling and take the action
in the moment.
In the moment. Yep.
Yeah. Because that's how we're co-creating nowadays. It's just not that focus on the horizon thing anymore with the targets and the plan. You have to follow through. It's in the moment. What you just described is such a perfect example. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Thank you for coming on the show today. It was such a divine, magical pleasure.
Yeah, my honor. Namaste.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.